This is Caps PA announcer Wes Johnson, and you're listening to Board the Pod!
Hello, everybody, and welcome to a brand new edition of What the Puck. It is a Washington Capitals podcast where we talk about the reigning, defending, undisputed Stanley Cup champions of the world, the Washington Capitals. Thank you so much for listening to us on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, TuneIn, the Baltimore Sports Report Network, Player.fm, Overcast, Google Play Music, and Satchel. And you can watch this episode, hopefully, on our Facebook and YouTube. So
YouTube?
Well, I don't know these things. I do. You don't.
I think I set one up in college for some reason, and I have
Which
no
was
idea.
15 years ago.
It was... No, it wasn't. It was almost.
Almost.
It was... What year are we in? No, it would have been 11 years ago.
So no, I, yeah, yeah, 11, yeah.
Because I was winner of 07.
Right. So, everybody, if you can see us, Coach Dan and I are in the same place at the same time.
That, like, never happened.
This is, what, like, three times in the span of 6 years that has happened?
No.
Yeah, something
no,
like
no,
that.
Wait. Hold on.
Actually, you know what? On LinkedIn, today is your Brando Cash Entertainment anniversary.
I didn't get that email.
I was told. I got wait notified.
No. Hold on. Okay, this is, by the way, we should probably never be in the room together because I'm just going to screw around the whole time. Just a heads up. So anybody's watching, I apologize in advance. No, we did this.
Right.
We did the one last year in December.
Right.
Which I should probably know the date of, but I don't.
In my basement.
Correct. That sounds sketchier than I think we intended.
Correct.
Don't worry about it. We've been to Kettler.
Correct.
But that was twice, I believe, because the first time, first year we interviewed John Walton?
That was the first, like our first episode.
And then the episode of what?
Of What the Puck. Like the one where it was a standalone podcast. That was like our first episode, was it with John Walton
the first
and Wes
season.
Johnson.
And then, you caught him in line. Or when did you catch him?
He was just hanging out.
Okay. No, it was Langway.
Yes, he did not want to be a part of it.
He had no interest.
No.
But then we went to Kettler again, I think, the next year.
Yeah.
We didn't interview anybody.
No, just ourselves.
But we watched...
I think that was Oshie's when Oshie got signed, wasn't it? I want to say Oshie got signed that year.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Maybe. I don't know. I was going to Kettler for years, and now like it all kind of blends together a bit.
Sure.
So I have to go back and look. If you know... That's weird. Why would y'all know that?
All right. Well, I mean, it hasn't been long since we did a show. There's only been two games since we talked last. One was a win. They finally broke the streak.
Yeah. Didn't go for eight in a row. They thought about it.
They decided to win one and then get another loss against Boston on Super Bowl Sunday. So let's talk a little bit about that game that was on Friday night up against Calgary. Ovechkin was not in the lineup. He missed because he was suspended due to not going to the All-Star game.
That happens.
How do you feel the team did without Ovechkin in the lineup?
Well, I think when you are missing a star player like that, that you need... Sorry, I'm looking around your office, all like the cool stuff, and I'm like trying to take this all in. I don't know if we have to go into the stories, how
I've
we're actually doing this live.
Feng Shui we're, here.
I do like this. I kind of wish my office was like this, because my office is next to a toddler classroom. And they get a little loud from time to time. First we have a show tonight as opposed to our normal Wednesday, Thursday, Friday time slot, whatever we are available to do.
Sure.
I was up in the Baltimore area at a conference and we were like, well, why don't you swing by? So it took me about 25 minutes. Dude, 695 was rough for a while.
Yeah. That's why I don't go that way home.
And then I got to, other side. Cause you would go the northern part, right?
That's like, still a mess going through Towson.
Which way do you go?
I go around Towson.
Yeah. Okay, so I came up from the south. So I came up south Baltimore, got on 695, pretty much right around 95, and then took that up. And it was like stop and go for a bit, and then I got on 795 and stuff. Okay, so that's why we're having this random episode on what is today, Monday?
It's a Monday.
It's been a long day. Conferences are fun, but long. So Ovechkin, back to the whole reason we were talking. He being out, it requires everyone else to step up.
Sure.
And, you know, it seemed like for a while, especially during the loss, he was the only guy that was doing anything offensively. So to have him out, you know, you have to look at everyone else and be like, it's your show now.
It's
someone
like
step up and step into
step
that
up.
Role. Who played on, I don't remember playing on the first line that game.
Wasn't it Chandler Stephenson? Didn't they move
he
him
He was
up?
In practice, but he You know,
him,
it worked.
Him, Backe, and Oshie, I think.
And they were playing a very good Calgary team. So it's not like they were playing, you know,
the Blackhawks,
Springfield Falcons.
Right.
Of the AHL. They weren't playing one of those teams. Like, they were playing Calgary, I want to say. I'd have to look it up. Brandon, on the Brandon computer, we need a better name for that. We need to, marketing. If anyone would like to purchase the rights to the computer name, well, what is the word? Sponsorship. There we go.
There you go.
Can you go to NHL.com real fast so we can see? I believe Calgary's in first in the Central Pacific, if not there, in the Western Conference. So they weren't playing a bad team without their best player. They were playing a very good team. Oh, your internet's as slow as my house. Oh, never mind. Still better. No, down.
Did it switch on me?
No, go down, dude.
Oh, okay.
There you go. So you went too far. No, you didn't. We're doing a great job, everybody. So Calgary's a very good team.
It's really hard to they're cut first in the
Pacific.
Video.
No, they're first in the Pacific and first. We don't have to cut it out. We always screw around. Doesn't matter. They're first in the Pacific and first in the West. So they're the best team in the West, and the Caps were able to go out without Ovechkin and play a great game. Holpe had a great game.
Yeah.
The other guys stepped up. There were still issues here and there, and that's going to happen, and they're still working out of their funk as well as coming back from an all-star break, where, as we see with this team, kind of a team thing, an organizational thing, that they're just slow after a break. We just see this where they, like, they hit a spot, and then they're like, oh. And they get too comfortable kind of not having played for a while.
Right.
So you got to get back up to game speed and physically back up to game speed and mentally. And they just takes them a while to do that. But we saw against Calgary, they were like, it seemed like they were had already been on a great run.
Mm-hmm.
And then after having a great game like that, then they hit Boston. And was it 14 in a row that they had won?
Yeah. Everyone was touting that.
Yeah.
It was like 14 in a row that they're unbeatable.
It's gone.
And it's gone.
Yeah. So that's great.
History in the wrong direction.
Well, it's only one game. It's not like it was a playoff game.
But still, I mean, you like to...
I mean, the reality that you're going to have that kind of run against another NHL team that you play often. Like, if you had a 14 in a row and it was against some crappy, like, Arizona.
Right.
You're like, whatever. You play them at one point, you know, it doesn't really matter because you play them rarely. But to go up against an Eastern Conference team and have that kind of run is phenomenal.
I mean, they beat Boston in the opening game of the season pretty handily. I mean, it was not an issue.
That was a pretty game.
Yeah.
That was a good game. I like that game.
So, I mean, more of those. This was different this time around.
I'll be honest. I didn't see the Boston game. I had a personal thing I had to take care of. We had a meeting that went a little long, so I didn't actually able to catch that game. But from what I read and what I have seen, I'm not really sure the Caps showed up to that game. They were already kind of thinking about the Super Bowl.
I think that, yeah.
It seemed like the Super Bowl was kind of waiting for the Super Bowl to start because that game was also really boring.
Yes. Commercials sucked.
So
halftime shows sucked.
Agreed.
Yeah. The SpongeBob show after the Super Bowl sucked.
I didn't watch it. I was busy sitting in traffic on 270 coming back from Germantown. Literally sitting there, the cops were blocking traffic because of a construction thing and not letting anybody move.
Uh-oh.
And it took me, what should be about a 20, 25 minute drive home, took an hour and 10. So fun. Anyways, yeah. So the Boston game was just kind of crap, but I think we have to wait and see. When's their next game?
The Capitals, they play tomorrow against Vancouver.
Okay, so I think, oh, man, I want to go to that game.
Me too.
I was ill-prepared, everybody. I should have brought my Vancouver, either my Beagle shirt, which I'm not wearing at the moment, or my Canucks Ryan Miller jersey. That would have been silly to do.
I can't wait for the jersey I bought to show up to my house this Thursday.
Anyways.
I should do a Facebook Live while it shows up to my house.
All right, I'm leaving. Good night, everybody. This jersey's terrible. Anyways, so I think if we look at the game against Vancouver and the game against Colorado, those are going to be more telling as to whether the Boston one was more of a blip or as to whether they really have fallen back into the rut that they were in when their seven-game losing streak. The difference here I see is that Boston only scored one goal as opposed to the touchdowns they were giving up.
Correct.
There were more touchdowns against the Caps in their seven-game losing streak than in the Super Bowl, which is embarrassing to say because that game was boring as hell.
I had 7-7 in the square pool I was in.
I did not get any money. I put in a dollar. It was 50 cents a square. I didn't actually have any cash. Someone gave me a dollar. A couple of years ago, I won like $20. I got nothing. I came close. I think I had if the Rams had gone up 7-0. Or we're down 7-10 or 7-20, you know.
Sure.
I had 7-0, and I forget what. It was like 5-3 was the other one. So that one I was kind of screwed.
Yeah.
That was never going to happen. But I think if we go and we look at these next couple of games, then we'll really see where the Caps are at. But the fact that they didn't give up, you know, 5, 6, 7 goals against Boston is still good. It shows that the errors are at least theoretically, given that the penalties are still an issue, but they were, and lazy penalties, but that shows that they weren't having the same defensive and they weren't having the same goaltending issues that they were having during that crap run.
Right.
So it seems like that makes me think that the Boston game is more of just kind of a fluke, which I think if they didn't have that crappy run, we really wouldn't be worried about it. Yeah, it's a little bit like, oh, we had that 14-game winning streak, and that was kind of fun to tout. But then again, I don't think Boston area fans care because, A, they just won the Super Bowl, and, B, they win all the freaking time in all of their freaking sports. And it's not freaking fair. But I'm not overly concerned at the moment. I want to go regarding the Boston game. Let's watch the Vancouver game. I think Vancouver's got a really good team, up-and-coming team. This Pettersson kid, if he's not hurt again, he is a phenomenal talent. Brock, is it Besser, Bozer? He is really good. Mm-hmm. So I'm really excited to see how those guys are going to do. And I'm curious to see how the Caps are going to do. And, you know, we can talk about the penalties in a minute, but you can't give a team with a lot of young, high-scoring offensive players that many opportunities on the power play because we were that team.
Sure.
We still kind of are that team, just not young anymore. But we were that team with a lot of young guys.
Different youngins now.
Yeah, yeah, but not... No, we don't... I guess...
The team as a whole is not...
Does still count as a youngin?
I don't think so.
See, like, he's still young in, like, NHL years, but because he played in the KHL for so long, he wasn't, like... He was, what, 22 when he came over?
Yeah, I think so. How old
is Kuznetsov?
I don't know.
Anyways. Old enough to take stupid penalties. That didn't even make any sense. But the... I forgot what I was saying. Oh, the comparisons between Vancouver and Washington, I think, are rather interesting in terms of what Washington used to be when they were a high-flying offense and they were winning games like 7-6, and their defense was crap with Jeff Schultz was back there, and he's really slow.
The defense seems to have been able to kind of pick it up, and I think that might be because the pairings that were doing so well are back together. Kempe and Carlson were back together for like the first time.
Kempe, I think, has like 8,000 penalties, and I might be undershooting it by about 12,000.
And I want to say, who was with Niskanen? Orlov?
There's something in the penalty box.
Skittles. That these guys like. This. Skittles.
See, I don't think that's an... Marshawn Lynch is not on the team. Like, that doesn't... Why would it be Skittles? Like, I'm feeling like it's... There's
chocolate,
an Xbox.
Hershey.
That, see, I feel like that would make sense. There could be a connection, some good hot chocolate. I think there's some vodka or you know what they did is they took Ovechkin's, like, Coke water bottle that he has on the bench.
He's got a special bottle.
Which is, like, the worst thing to tell kids, by the way, because it's really not good for you to have that when exercising. But anyways, I think they took that and they put it in the bench, in the penalty box. And I think that's what's happening. Though he's not taking a lot of the penalties. So my joke didn't really work. But something's happening with these penalties. And it depends what kind of penalty. Some, like, I get tripping from time to time. Not that I get it, but, like, you're going for the stick or you're going to hit the guy's the puck away or hit the guy's stick and you miss and you trip him. Like, it happens. That's not the end of the world. The ones that annoy me are, like, hooking or if the guy's gotten past you and you take a tripping penalty. Holding the stick is a stupid penalty. Or if you're, like, grabbing the just, like, dumb penalties like that are just completely unnecessary.
Right.
And ones like hooking show that you're not moving your feet. And if you're not going to try hard enough, you shouldn't get to play. Let someone else come up and give them a shot. Because if you're not going to work hard enough, get off the ice. Let someone else come up.
Well, I mean, it seems like you're not the only coach that's a little annoyed with these penalties. Because Todd Reirden is finally starting to step up as a coach. It seems as if he's kind of let these guys be a little bit lax.
He does look a bit pissy lately.
Well, he benched one of the stars, one of the big names of this team.
That's right.
Yevgeny Kuznetsov and also Dmitry Yaskin. Which, by the way, did you know that he wasn't Russian?
Yeah, he's like Czech, right?
Yeah. With a name like Dmitry Yaskin, I just assumed he was Russian.
I think it's the Dmitry with a J that makes me think not Russian.
Oh, okay.
Because I don't know if that makes sense.
They did an interview with him on Friday during the Calgary game, and he started talking.
He's like a vague accent. He's not even that thick.
No, not at all. So I was like, is he Canadian?
He has nice hair, too. Did you notice that? He's
I'm more focused on my own.
Oh, I need a haircut right now. If y'all can see, I didn't know we were going to be doing video. Otherwise, I would have had... My wife gives me haircuts because it saves money. It's just a good job.
I just don't get them.
Apparently.
Yeah.
So right now I have a bit of the fro starting. It's not great. But anyways.
So Dmitry Yaskin, yes. Yevgeny Kuznetsov.
Dmitrij.
Yes. They both get penalties against Boston. And Todd Reirden decides, hey, not going to fly anymore. benches both of them.
Correct.
From the first period throughout the entire second period, and then I believe they come back in the third.
Brandon, what's our line again?
If you're dumb, you don't get to play.
I always forget. Is it that, or is it if you don't get to play hockey if you're going to be dumb? Either way, the point still stands. It works either way. We need to make up T-shirts or something. We should put that across the banner on the website. We could do that. Anyways,
we could.
I don't have the Photoshop skills, so that's all you, buddy. All right. I've learned a little bit.
A little
my
bit.
My Photoshopping skills because of work, and I've had to. And thanks, YouTube, and everyone that's put YouTube videos out there telling you how to Photoshop, because it's very helpful. I mean, the reality is if you take stupid penalties, you're affecting the team because the star players that are scoring goals, the guys like Ovechkin, sure. Backstrom plays on the PK, but the guys like Ovechkin, they're not playing on the PK. So it's less ice time for him, which means he has less opportunities to score.
Right.
And then if you're taking lazy penalties, then it's like, okay, so not only are you hurting this team offensively because the odds of getting a shorthanded goal are, I don't think this team scores very many shorties, so the odds of that happening are pretty slim, and you're taking the best player, or best offensive player, and best player, off the ice. So you're being dumb twice now.
Right.
You know, and you've taken a lazy penalty, so now you're not even trying, and you're affecting the team that way. You don't get to play if you're going to be lazy and you're not going to try hard enough. And the reality is, and I like to see this from Reardon, he needs to put his foot down a bit because it was always kind of a question mark as to how he was going to do. You know, he was the guy the team had earmarked to be the next head coach it was time for Trotz to go. Being, I'm sure they would like to have Trotz for another 2 years, maybe at least another year, if not two. I think Reardon's time has come probably around the time it should have. You know, there are other teams that have come asking about him, and I bet if the Caps had let those teams interview him, the Caps said no. I don't remember how many teams, at least one or two.
Right.
Being able to interview Reardon, because you can do that. Technically, they had him under contract. Usually teams will allow it, but I think they were like, no, he's our guy. He's our next head coach at some point in time.
And
we don't want to give him up.
Oh, thanks for that, guys. Thanks for that vote of confidence.
Well, I don't think it was that, but Trotz is older. You know, I don't know how many more years he has coaching left. You look at a guy like Boudreau, who has said his time, at once he's done in Minnesota, he's done.
Yeah.
He doesn't want to coach anymore. And it's hard. You're moving your family every time you coach. And if you don't move your family, then you're away for them so long, so you're probably not as going to have as much fun.
Sure.
So I think you look at it as Reardon was going to be their guy. But then if you're the players, you're like, well, we were just working with Trotz. We won the cup with him. Yes, Reardon was there too. But then now you're the boss? So there's probably a little bit of awkward dynamic. But I think these players, it seems like this team is well-rounded enough and the camaraderie is good enough that it shouldn't have been an issue. And I think Reardon has, not that he wasn't necessarily in charge before, but I like to see that he doesn't like when his players, be them star players or role players.
Right.
If you're not playing well enough and you're not playing the way that you should be playing, your butt is going to go sit on the bench. And I don't think it's going to happen, but I wouldn't be like, what are you doing? If Kuznetsov doesn't get a jersey or a sweater or whatever the terminology may be for everybody, was it tomorrow? Or if you're listening to this on Tuesday, tonight, against Vancouver. I don't know why I keep looking at the camera trying to be slick.
Why
it's
not?
So spastic.
But Dmitry Yaskin not getting a jersey.
Yeah, but he gets it.
Or Yevgeny Kuznetsov not getting a jersey. There's a big difference there.
Well, no, because benching Kuznetsov in a game makes a point, right?
It's kind
Benji
like,
Kuznetsov for an entire game makes a really big point as I don't care who, if I'm the coach, and it's a tricky thing to do because do you lose the locker room or do you lose some of the star players who are like, yeah, he made a mistake, but it's not the end of the world. But Kuznetsov has not been playing well at all this season.
No, he has not.
And I want to say Japers Rink just had an article that came out, or a piece that came out recently about his struggles and how a lot of his statistics are down. Not dramatically, but they're down from where they were at last season. And so Kuznetsov is a guy that if he got sent up to the press box for the game against Vancouver, I think it has to be the game against Vancouver if he's going to do it. He can't play him in Vancouver that he has an okay game and then he sits him out in Colorado. It has to follow up the benching during the game.
Right.
So if you don't give him a sweater against Vancouver, you've made a much more drastic point and potentially more effective of like, look, I don't care who you are. If you're going to affect this team in a negative way and you're going to do it lazily, you're not playing.
Yeah.
Especially for the cap hit that he's going at, which I'm glad I left it here on my phone. I want to say it's $7.8 million. Give me 1 second, everybody. This is a lot harder to do on a phone, by the way. But their website's pretty. Yeah, $7.8 million for the next like 800 years or however long they have because that's off-signed. So it was a long-term deal. So if you went and got this big deal, probably more money than you really deserve comparable to the market. But they made it on a sense of like, look, this guy's a star player. He's only 26,
You know, he's still a young guy. He's going right into his prime. So he's not even at prime yet. He can technically, I mean, everybody could, but he still technically can get better. Yeah. He hasn't hit his ceiling yet. You know, although it seems like Ovechkin was like, oh, he's hit his ceiling. And he's like, oh, screw you guys. And blows through the thing.
I'm going to win the cup now.
He cross checks or shoulder checks the crap out of the ceiling and continues to play incredibly well and score 8,000 goals a season. It's very impressive. So my long-winded point here, and I kind of got off track about seven times, which tends to happen when we record in general, that Kuznetsov, if he doesn't start playing better, you know, does he get sent down to the third line? Which I called, by the way, a few weeks ago.
I think that was for the Lost Show.
I think it was the Lost Show. Did that one ever go out?
I posted it, but I don't think it ever went in the feed. It's out there. It's on the website.
If you can find it, like, you know, we should totally. All right, Brandon, you got to make up a Photoshop of like a milk carton.
Uh-huh.
Is this inappropriate? Because usually
this
it's about
episode.
Yeah, is this inappropriate? Because usually about people and children. Now I kind of feel bad. But whatever, be fun. Anyways, no, you know what? You got to do it with Kuznetsov face. And have you seen this goal scorer? Because I don't know what's going on with him this season. Whether it's that he's being lazy, whether teams have figured him out, whether mentally he's in like a rut.
Yeah.
You know, it's got to be hard after coming off winning a cup. Because part of you is like, I want to go do that again.
Sure.
But then another part of you is like, that was exhausting. I want a break, you know? And yeah, they got one, kind of. I felt like they actually tried harder at a party than to win the cup. But who knows? You know, but Kuznetsov's a bit of a mystery and an enigma for the team right now. And if he doesn't start to play better, honestly, if he's not playing against Vancouver, I'm not surprised. I'm not going out there on Twitter and being like, Reardon, what are you doing? You're having more on. Like, no, I'm going to be like, you know what? He's sending a message.
That's yeah.
And I don't, you know, Kuznetsov might be annoyed because it's his buddy, but I think the rest of the guys will be like, I get it. We have to play better. We got to step up.
If you remember, I think it was Barry Trotz's first year, maybe his second year. He benched Ovi because Ovi didn't show up to practice on time.
I vaguely do remember something along those lines.
So, I mean, I don't know if that worked, but it definitely feels as if it kind of took away that ego a little bit. From Ovi. That's what I liked about Trotz and Ovi is that he made him a little bit more down to earth.
Well, Trotz had that relationship.
Yeah.
Well, was Ovi ever, Ovechkin ever really like, you said down to earth, and I found that interesting because he always kind of always seemed to be like, I think Ovechkin's very self-aware of what's going on around him, and he's playing a role.
Right, but I mean,
to some extent.
When you're Ovi or Sidney Crosby or Wayne Gretzky or Tom Brady or whatever, you know how good you are.
Oh, very much so.
And Ovi knows how good he is. And for Barry Trotz to go, look, you're not above this team. Practice starts at 8. You get here at 8.
Well, is that part of, maybe not in the same exact same vein, but is that part of what he potentially could do with Kuznetsov?
That's what I'm thinking.
Where he's saying, look, if you think that you can play this poorly, you're going to go sit in the press box. Now, I'm not advocating trading Kuznetsov or anything like that. I do think he needs a kick up the backside. Not literally, that's abuse. But you know, whether, you know, that sitting against Vancouver can be that kick up the backside of, look, you're not playing well enough. Go enjoy the press box. Eller, who, you know, missed the Boston game, but if he's okay and ready to come back, maybe he's playing on that second line against Vancouver. You've got, who would play on the third line? Not Dowd. He'd be the fourth line center.
Boyd.
Would it be, you think Boyd? He'd be the third line center? That's fair. Okay, yeah. So Boyd's the third line center. And like, look, you go sit up in the press box. It's not even to learn. It's you know, it's one of those things. It's a smack on the back of the head. Like, wake up, kid. You need to play better.
Now, with this losing streak, the one win, another loss, and the trade deadline coming up.
When is the deadline? I meant to look this up the other day.
The 24th or 25th of this month.
It's not as close as I thought.
So, I mean, it's just a couple weeks away.
Looking it up on my phone.
Brian McClellan did say that the Capitals were in play. Who knows how truthful that is or whatever that they're talking about it. Does this affect the trade value or the position you're looking to trade?
So it's Monday, February 25th.
I was right.
Well done, Brandon. At 3 p.m. So for anyone, and then the window shuts just like it does in the European football transfer window. That's a soccer thing, Brandon.
Oh, okay.
Okay. Ryan Drury understands what I'm talking about. The question is, all right, so let me ask you. What position, without naming a specific player, because who knows, what position do you think they're going after? Because, like, the fourth period, you know the website? Fourth period?
No, I've never been on that.
Okay, so it's a website. It's a hockey website, but they also do a lot of, like, trade stuff and rumors.
Yeah.
And they go through, like, the top 10, 20, 30, 50 players that might be moved at the deadline or something along. I don't remember how many, but I was looking at it a week or so ago.
I think it was when I was in the UK. And they, you know, they go through and they're like teams that might be interested or teams that are rumored to be interested. The Caps are on none of them. Like, not one.
Yeah.
So, you know, you look at it and it's like they could make a trade, but the question is, who are they trading for?
Right.
Positionally, because we don't know specific players. I might be like, yes, I'd like to bring in Sidney Crosby and I'd like to bring in Drew Doughty. Thank you very much.
Done and done.
A, cap hit. Their cap ceilings would, like, not going to work.
Yeah.
But then also, no, never happened. Because they just, how would you be trading everyone? So, what position do you think they need to acquire? And it can be more than one. And which player, besides Burakovsky, do you think they can move out? Because I think we're both on the same page that Burakovsky, you know, I don't know if it's a change of scenery or if the kid's not living up to what his potential was.
He said he wants to continue to be here, which, I mean,
well,
I get
yeah,
it.
Yeah, he's making good money. He's got really good friends. He's, you know, Tom Wilson's protecting him.
Yeah.
Yeah, it makes complete sense. I wouldn't at all be surprised to see him get moved out. People were thinking Edmonton, but then they moved on from Peter Chiarelli, and everyone was like, oh, he's making stupid trades. We almost were able to fleece him in one. That didn't work. But Burakovsky's, he's coming into, he needs a new contract after the season. He's currently on one of $3 million. No way in hell does he deserve a raise.
He's not getting re-signed. No doubt in my mind.
No. Because, all right, so if that's the case, and I think he's restricted free agent, if you don't want to bring him back, but you can't just let him go.
Right.
Because you've spent value on him.
A lot.
You've not only money-wise, but you was it a first-round pick? I think he was a first-round pick. You've used a first-round pick on him.
Yeah.
You need to get something back, whether it's less, you know, a higher pick because you're just like, look, this isn't going to work, or lower pick. That always confuses me. Lower pick being like a fifth or sixth round pick.
Okay.
But that's higher number-wise. That's why I'm always confused. But no, you don't do that. But, you know, there is a rumor that the Capitals were talking with other potential teams. There's one rumor saying they wanted two, like, second or third round picks for him, which is not great, but not the end of the world because, you know, you could turn those guys into pretty good players.
Sure.
And they do need depth prospect-wise on the forward ranks because they have none.
Yeah.
You know, you have maybe one or two guys, but none of them are potential top six players. Vrana was their last potential top six forward prospect they had, and he's playing in the NHL, so he's not a prospect anymore. You know, so defensively they're pretty good. So I don't think they need to go out and trade for a young defenseman. But if you want to move on Burakovsky, you know, do you bring in a young forward? So going back to my question, what position do you think they need if they're going to make a move at the deadline? Because I can honestly see them not making any moves, which I think is a mistake.
I can see them not making any moves as well. But the bottom six is awful. I mean, they are doing absolutely nothing. We've seen this so many years in the playoffs as Caps fans at the bottom six. Doesn't produce. You don't have Jay Beagle there anymore motivating anybody.
Well, he wasn't producing offensively. Defensively, he was doing very well.
And he was a veteran and a leader in the locker room. So he was a guy that a lot of people could talk to and work with. Now you have Travis Boyd, you have Nick Dowd, you have Devontae Smith-Pelly, Brett Connolly, who's not producing, Lars Eller majority of the time. You have
where's your mouse?
Dmitry Yaskin, who's getting benched. You have Andrei Burakovsky every once in a while.
Okay, so are you looking to bring in a third line guy or a fourth line guy? Are you looking for a center or a winger?
I think a winger. Actually, I don't know. That center position, I'm not impressed with Boyd, and I'm not impressed with...
Well, Boyd's in his first full real season.
And who's Chandler Stephenson. Chandler Stephenson hasn't gotten a goal in like 14 games. It has not been a good year for Chandler Stephenson. And let me tell you, he's the guy who has one of my favorite moments of the Stanley Cup win. I mean,
that's the statistic that's scaring me right now.
Exactly.
You're talking about Chandler Stephenson. And I don't like the plus-minus statistic. I think it's not necessarily a fair representation of how a player is playing because, if you know, you may not have been involved with the play, but the other team scores against you. It's not your fault, you know, which is kind of a crap way to put it. But anyways, the thing that – so we're talking about Boyd. He's currently got 15 points in 31 games. He's a plus +5. And the thing I'm looking at him is his faceoff percentage of 37 and change. Not great. You go down to Stephenson. He's got 10 points, but he's a minus -9.
Minus -9.
But his faceoff percentage, although you know what doesn't tell you is how many faceoffs he's taken. So that's hard to tell specifically. I'd like to know how many faceoffs he's taken because I feel like they like Stephenson more as a winger. But the fact that he is a minus -9, that is what I'm looking at going, that's a problem, especially if you're playing a more defensive role on the forward ranks. So I'm with you, and I don't think they need another center necessarily. I think between on the bottom six between Eller and Boyd and Dowd,
yeah,
they're more or less okay. It's the wings that I'm a little bit more concerned. Like, you know, you look at someone like
Devontae Smith-Pelly turned it on for the playoffs.
Yeah, but we know he's got 8 goals. Sorry, 8 points. Why is this not scrolling over anymore? Oh, because I just go like that. Ta-da. He's got 8 points in 48 games. I'd have to go back and see how many he had last year, but we know he's not an offensive-minded player or a producer in the regular season. Not the end of the world, because he does a good job pretty much everything else.
Right.
Although he's a -4 at the moment. But he's not. Jesus. Eller's a -13. Maybe this isn't the greatest representation of how we want to go about this argument, because we like him. And that's not good for my argument. Anyways, I think a winger wouldn't be the end of the world. And I think maybe you bring in I don't want to give up Burakovsky for a bottom six winger, though. If I'm losing Burakovsky,
like a veteran who you're only going to get 1 year.
Yeah, 1 or 2 seasons. See, if I'm moving Burakovsky, see, I feel like if we want to go get that winger for the third line or the fourth line, I think you trade a draft pick. You know, you trade a second or third round pick, maybe a mid-level prospect for him, for that person, and you bring them in. I don't think Burakovsky, I feel like he's one of those guys. You go and you find another team that's struggling with one of their guys, just like we are with Burakovsky. You find a young guy who's potentially going to be making a bit more in his next contract, and you're like, hey, our guy's not working. I think he needs a change of scenery. Your guy's not working. I think he needs a change of scenery. Let's flip-flop, and we do a like for like, you know? And I know that the word is that the Caps and Brian McClellan are concerned about having another Philip Forsberg on their hands. That Burakovsky goes somewhere else and turns out to be a star.
Right.
And they're like, damn it, we did it again. Yeah. Lost another really good player. But the reality is, he's not going to be that here. It's just not working out for whatever reason. And we don't know what that is. It could
it's been more than one season.
It could be a mental thing.
Yeah.
You know, it could be that he's Tomas Fleischmann reincarnated. Not that Fleischmann's gone. Like, I'm sure he's still alive. But it's another thing where he's a streaky player. He goes on these runs where he does really well.
Mm-hmm.
I haven't seen that lately or at all this season, really. And then he goes through these long droughts. And with Burakovsky, I think you just move him on and you bring in a like for like. And you go and you find a team, and I'm blanking on the guy's name in Edmonton that Ryan Drury and I were talking about on Twitter a while back, that he's having the same boat. You know, high draft pick. They brought him in, think he was going to be great. And it's just not working out for whatever reason.
Yeah.
It's not working for him in Edmonton. And you know what? This might work out the best for Burakovsky because, correct me if I'm wrong, he played with Connor McDavid in the WHL.
And with the Erie Otters.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Quebec Major, whatever the freaking league is. So he played in one of them. And he played with McDavid. So, you know, maybe that's the best thing for Burakovsky. And it's not, you know, the end of the world if it helps the Western Conference because that's their problem, not our problem.
Right. Until the Stanley Cup final.
That's true. Yeah. I don't think Edmund's getting there anytime soon. Not with the way they've been playing. But, you know, the question is how long is McDavid going to stick around? But then they bring, you know, the Caps bring in a young guy that they still can look at and be like, okay, fine, his contract maybe is not as high as Burakovsky, so you can be like, we'll give you a little bit more, so your cap hit's then not as bad, and he has a new opportunity and a new environment and a team that potentially is having less. Because Burakovsky's not really under the spotlight. You know, he's not a top, he should be a top six player, but he's not at the moment.
Right.
He's not someone that's out there and they're having to be like, why aren't you playing better? You know, you've got Vrana and Backstrom and Kuznetsov and Ovechkin and Oshie and Wilson, these guys that are playing in front of him.
Right.
So it's not the end of the world. But then you look at him, you look at his contract, and you go, this isn't going to work. It's not working the best for this team. They're going to have salary cap issues going forward. They need to re-sign guys pretty soon, and that it's time to move him on. And bring in someone else. And I was looking over there to see his age, but that's the wrong chart to see that. Let me check. Where did Cap Friendly go? I know you're right here somewhere. Burakovsky is 23. So he's still a young guy. But that the reality is if you're going to, you know, I can't remember what the number is, whether it's 10% that you have to move up in arbitration or something along those lines. As a restricted free agent, they're automatically guaranteed, I think, a bump.
Mm-hmm.
A bump up, I should say. So I don't know what specifically is, but it's going to be more than what he's making now. And what he's making now, he's not. It's not the appropriate number for what he's producing. So I would like to see him moved out of the deadline. I think you can get more for him at the deadline potentially than in the summer.
Sure.
Because a team that's maybe making
a little
bit more
desperate.
Well, that, or if there's a team pushing for the playoffs, you know, they might be like, okay, we'll try, you know, we'll take a chance on this guy and send you our struggling guy. Or maybe, you know, it gives a team like Edmonton or whoever it may be more time to actually see what they've got with him.
Right.
As opposed to trying to trade for him in the offseason when he's going to be a restricted free agent.
Gotcha.
Because then, if you know, if you're Edmonton and it doesn't work out, then you have the chance at the deadline to move him as opposed to bringing him in at the in the offseason and then signing him to a new deal and then realizing, well, he really does suck. Like, this guy's just not going to work out. We need to move him on. So I wouldn't at all be surprised to see if they move him at the deadline. I hope it doesn't affect Tom Wilson mentally because I know they're buddies.
He lost all his buddies. Yeah, he lost Lotta.
Lotta's gone.
Barkowski.
I'm sure he'll be okay.
Yeah.
And then, so I think that's a different situation. And then you bring that guy in, whoever the new, you know, if you're getting a like for like with Burakovsky, then you've potentially got yourself a third line winger that could step into the top six should you need someone to step in if they can play that role.
Yeah.
And if it doesn't work out and they end up costing less than Burakovsky, then maybe you move them on again in the offseason, be it just letting them go or a trade again, which may or may not work out. But at least you've tried something, and you haven't necessarily given up Burakovsky for nothing. You at least made an effort to turn him into something that could produce for you. But then I agree with you. I think even if you do that move in Burakovsky and bring in a guy that could play on the third line, potentially moving up to the second line at some point, I still think you need to bring in another guy, potentially for the bottom six, but a role-playing guy that you're not going to give up a lot to bring in.
Mm-hmm.
I think you're right. You need a guy like a Beagle that's more of a veteran who can come in and kind of like – get the team motivated a little bit, and not the top six, but get the bottom six motivated to play better, or just maybe it's just gel better.
Yeah.
You know, maybe for whatever reason they're just not gelling as well. You know, with the Calgary game, was it like Connolly, Dowd? Like, it was all like role players that scored,
yeah,
or something along those lines. And that's great when you have games like that because you can't expect your top six or your stars to score every game. But it's nice to see that happen. You'd like to see a little more often. The question is this team struggling because defensively the forwards are not playing as well, and do you need to bring in that bottom six? I think a winger. I don't know if you really need to make us move for a center. Though if you could bring in someone like a Beagle that can win that many faceoffs, by all means do it, because you need that in the playoffs when you're, you know, it's a one-goal game and you need to make that that defensive zone win in the faceoff circle. And then I also kind of question, and I almost want to say no, do they need to go out and bring in a defenseman? The reason I'm hesitant on that is because, A, you're probably going to let Orpik, he's going to move on in the offseason because they signed him to a one-year deal, right?
Yeah, it's 1 year.
Yeah. So you're likely going to move on from Orpik. You've Sangin Thaler's playing really well.
Yeah.
So he is definitely making a push to be a full-time guy the following season. You've got, let me double check this, but you've got the only guy that's an unrestricted free agent right now that's currently playing on the roster is Brooks Orpik. You know, Bowie and Sengenthaler are restricted free agents after next season. So you're not going to have a lot of holes on the defense going into the offseason unless you make trades. But then you also have Christian Juice coming back. He's been skating with the guys. And I don't know when he's
going to
necessarily play.
He's going to Hershey right now.
Correct. So he went to Hershey on a – I forgot about that. He's on Hershey right now, which means he's likely coming back in the next week or two.
Mm-hmm.
So there's going to be a lot of questions as to whether who's playing, who's not playing. Questions for Reardon, questions for McClellan. And if you really want to go out and acquire a top or a higher top six kind of guy, do you move out one of your young defensemen? Do you look at Madison Bowie or Christian Zeus?
I mean, Madison Bowie hasn't been lighting the world on fire.
Do you move one of those guys out to bring in a top, you know, a top six player? Is there a team that's building or a team that's looking at bringing in young defensemen like Edmonton who need some help defensively? With all those first-round picks, you really think they would have picked up one freaking defenseman?
Yeah.
That's pretty good. So do you look, you know, is there a team like that that's going to go, huh, well, we do kind of have, not a plethora, but we do have that extra, you know, that forward we can move on. Maybe we'll send you our top six forward, Connor McDavid, if you'd like, but I doubt it. We'll send you him. You give us Burakovsky and Bowie, we'll send you that in a second-round pick. Probably not going to happen.
Interesting.
But I wouldn't necessarily be against it because now you're getting more young offensive players because Oshie, first of all, we have the Seattle draft coming up, and there was that one, where did I read that? Oh, the score. where I read that they think, oh, she's going to be the guy the Caps lose. Then again, they also have the Caps protecting Burakovsky. So, yeah.
Wrong.
But Ovechkin's getting up there in age. Backstrom's getting up there in age. Oshie is...
There's a lot of contracts older. Coming up in the next couple years.
Mm-hmm.
Holpe's got one coming up after the 2020 season.
Well, the question is, who are you going to protect? Holpe or I was going to say Varlamov. Idiot. Samsonov. Well, because Copley, they just re-signed to a new three-year deal, but I think that's more to protect his trade value.
Yeah, because that now means Vitek Vanacek and Samsonov are not coming up to the NHL for a couple years.
I disagree.
Oh, really?
So I think... Not sort of fight guy, sorry. Sorry, Brandon. No, I think that re-signing Copley was to protect his trade value. So that way you can potentially move him in the offseason and he still has a contract, because I think if you move him in the offseason, he doesn't have a contract yet with a team. And I think he was scheduled to be unrestricted free agent. So if you move him prior to that, you're likely going to get even less. But if there's a team that's looking for a backup and maybe a guy that can kind of push for a little bit more, now he's got a deal. And it's for 3 years. So the team you're trading him to now has him controlled for longer than they would have to go and sign him for something. So Copley plays really well. He might be like, well, I can, yeah. Well, he would have to accept the trade. It's not really sure. the matter. Yeah, but he'd be like, well, no. You're giving me $2.5 million a year, or I'm going to free agency. He lost that negotiating ability by signing this deal with the Capitals. But he has consistency. He knows he's got a guaranteed contract for the next 3 years after the season. He's making $1.1 million a year for the next three years.
Not bad.
No, it's great. I mean, I'll take it. I you know, a decent soccer goalie. Not really. I'm like, okay, I'm short, so it doesn't help. I'm halfway decent is probably a generous way to put it. But so I think it ups his trade value, because the team that would potentially be acquiring him now has him locked up. They don't have to negotiate a new contract.
Right.
They just get that contract. So I think my guess is that Copley gets traded in the offseason and Samsonov and Vanacek battle it out to see who's going to be the backup, and Samsonov's going to be the backup.
Interesting.
I think Vanacek's a career AHLer.
Oh,
with occasional
really?
Calls. Let me rephrase. I think he's a career AHLer if he stays with the Caps. Because how old is he? Hold on. I just had a thought that popped in my head, but I want to see how old he is. If he's older than I think, then never mind. Yeah, he's 23. So I was thinking, like, Samsonov comes up. They move on from Holpe. Be it in the expansion draft with Seattle, or they trade him because Samsonov's supposed to be this. And if he comes up and he's this ridiculous kid, as great as Holpe is, he's currently... This website's hard to do on your phone. He's currently 29, so he's got one more year on his contract after this year, and he's already making 6.1. I don't think he's going to necessarily take a step down.
Sure.
And even though he's playing great, you have Samsonov. Is this a thing where you are like, we got this young kid, he's going to cost us less?
Who's the greatest goaltending prospect in the world?
Apparently. So it's like, you know, you have two things. Either you re-sign Holpe and you trade Samsonov and you get a really good return for him, or you say, Braden, thanks for everything. We've got this younger guy. It's the reality of sports. We're going to bring him in. He's going to be our new star. You've likely had at least next season to see how he can get adjusted to the NHL, and you decide he's our guy.
I think we saw that in Baltimore with Joe Flacco and Lamar Jackson this past season.
I think we saw it with the Caps with Varlamov. I think we saw it with Neuwirth to some extent. I think we saw it with – that's how Holpe came in.
Because of Vokoun. You remember Vokoun kept him in Hershey.
That's true. Well, yeah, because the Caps were a little concerned with the way the younger guys were playing. But they – the reality is everybody gets replaced by a younger guy at some point.
Sure.
Be it by retirement, by trade, by free agency, whatever it may be. Holpe's probably still got another – what is he, 29? He's probably still got another 8 years, if not more.
I mean, look at Fleury.
Look at Lundqvist.
Yeah.
Look at Luongo. You know, these guys, you can play until you're later, but the reality is these guys have also moved teams.
It's true.
And
except for
Lundqvist, that's true.
Yeah. He's still the king of New York.
Yeah, unless Harper or Machado.
He might get dethroned soon, but for right now, he's still the king.
Yeah, he's up there in age. But, you know, is it a reality of, look, we've got this young kid who we think is eventually going to have a higher ceiling than you, or has a higher ceiling than you do.
Right.
He might be better one day than you currently are. And Holpe's, I mean, he's a Vezina winning goalie. He's an amazing goal, right? He won the Vezina?
Yeah.
He's an amazing goaltender. But that's the reality of sports. At some point, Ovechkin's going to be replaced on this team, one way or another.
And that's a discussion you and I need to have. I think we're going a little long on this show, but we do need to talk about that about his next contract and...
Well, wait. Oh, no, my phone went to... Hold on.
His next contract, which is coming up, and things outside of the NHL that he needs to accomplish before he retires. But we will talk about that.
I know what you're going to say, and I disagree, but that's besides the point.
Exactly. That's why... I mean, we're going a little long
right
now.
He's still got three more, but yeah. Okay.
So I do want to talk about that maybe on next week's show.
Then that's fine.
Teaser!
That's a conversation for a much different time, because he's still got a couple more years left in his deal. But... And Seattle's coming into play...
After the 2020 season.
Yeah, so 2021.
The summer of 2020.
Which, Brandon,
yeah,
is the summer that Holtby is unrestricted free agent.
So they might not protect him.
I wouldn't be surprised if the Caps made a deal with Seattle and said, we'll sign Holtby to a new... No, because you have to, I think, because he's unrestricted free agent. What was the rule? I can't remember.
I don't know. They're still switching it up for Seattle this time around, too.
Mm-mm. It's basically the same
rules. Vegas doesn't get any.
It's the same rules as Vegas, but Vegas doesn't have to play. Vegas doesn't have to protect anybody, which I don't understand. Because it's not like it's the year after Vegas came into the league and they needed to make sure they still had a good team.
Right.
Right? So, but the with Holtby, I would not at all be surprised if they signed him to a new deal with the understanding with Holtby and with Seattle that he's the Caps player you're going to take. We're going to sign him to this new deal. Everybody, all three of us are agreed to this new deal.
Yeah.
And then you're going to take him. I think next season, this is why I think that Copley's gone in the offseason. Because I don't think they're going to be able to keep Samsonov down in the minors for another full season unless he's not playing well enough in Hershey. Hmm. And it sounds like he's playing well enough in Hershey.
I mean, he's gotten a couple shutouts already this season. Yeah. Even though the Hershey Bears do suck this year.
Well, he struggled. I think a lot of that was an adjustment to North America.
Sure.
Now that he's adjusted, he's starting to step it up and starting to play much better. I think he's going to make a real push.
We got to go up there. We gotta go to.
We
a
do
Bears
need to
game.
Go. I haven't been to a Bears game in forever. Yeah, it's gonna be harder for me to go to a Bears game after June.
Sure.
So,
yeah. No reason.
No particular reason other than a small human. Coming along. So what the hell was I saying? Oh, you know, I think if Samsonov continues, it's Samsonov. We said it was Samsonov, but it's Samsonov.
It's Samsonov. Right?
So I think if he continues to make this strong push to. Be like, you're putting me in the NHL next season, or he's not threatening to go back to the AKHL, but he's like, look, I can do this, and I'm better than Copley.
Yeah.
He's not going to go in and say that. That'd be highly entertaining, but he's not going to do
it. As long as there's a camera around, I'm cool with it.
That would be great to watch. I'm better than that guy. That's a terrible Russian accent. But if he comes in and he's better than Copley, I think the Caps move Copley in the offseason, and they say, Samsonov, you want to be our guy? Because they're going to have to protect one of them.
Mm-hmm.
You know, unless they make a deal with Seattle not to take either Holtby or Samsonov, which means they're going to have to give up something else, like Oshie, and be Jeez. Like, we agree to not protect Oshie if you take this guy. You know, unless you make that kind of deal, I think next season is Samsonov's opportunity to say, I'm your guy.
Yeah.
And I think at that point, they potentially make a deal to be like, look, we'll sign Holtby this new deal if you promise to take him. And Seattle can be like, no. And then the Caps are screwed and they have to make a really tough choice.
Yeah.
And maybe they trade Holtby at some point. But the interesting thing is going to be if Samsonov comes in and he's not showing that he's necessarily ready to be the starter, then the Caps are in trouble.
Yeah.
Because they're going to have to protect one of those guys. And if you're Seattle, then again, we thought the same thing with Grubauer. You're Seattle, do you look at that and go, and it'll be interesting to see what other teams do. Do you look at it and go, well, we'll take Samsonov? Or do you look at it and go, well, he kind of struggled. And they're not going to protect him. Screw that. We'll take this other goalie, and they can deal with their own problem. And maybe the Caps don't have to worry about it. You know, and maybe they lose Connolly or one of the young defensemen. Because I think they protect Carlson. They protect maybe Niskanen. They protect Orlov. So the question is, they're going to lose either Juice, Siegenthaler, or Bowie. That's my assuming those three are still on the roster at that point.
Yeah.
So that'll be interesting. So that's my guess. So the Caps have a lot of questions going forward in terms of in the future. As for right now, going back to the trade deadline, I just don't see how they can bring in a defenseman. I don't think they have a spot. Who's going to sit?
It's got
to
be...
You send Siegenthaler back down.
I think we just killed the battery on
the
GoPro.
Oh, no!
Yeah.
We went too... Stop beeping at me.
Yeah, the GoPro just died.
Oh, no.
We can still do audio here, but...
People are going to watch me. Where did they go? What happened?
Like one bad thing about GoPro is the battery.
You can't plug it in?
I think you can, but I never have an extension cord or anything like that.
I was like, where? Oh, there's L. Oh, that's pretty far.
Yeah. Sorry, we can keep going.
So, yeah. What time? Oh, I am definitely not getting home when I said I was going to.
I know. We've been talking for a little while.
What time does traffic off 695 not get bad? Or get bad less?
It's usually around this time. 6:30, 7 o'clock, it calms down a little bit.
Okay, cool, because I got to go jump back on there.
Yeah. But let's wrap this show up. So, I mean, I don't think we've ever talked Caps this long before.
Well, I don't have any other things to talk about because I didn't write any notes. Because we weren't really sure if this was going to work out.
Right.
And no, they played. Oh, we can, like, quickly...
No, it's fine.
Nah, okay, we'll do it next time.
I mean, we talked for
I think the Bears. Well,
51 minutes, so we're good.
Well, I think some of that was just us rambling before we actually started. A little bit? Or did you start pretty much right away? I saw they had another, I think they had another shutout. They had a overtime win, or they had a win. The Bears seem like they're starting to step it up.
Good.
And they're starting to play
it's
a bit better.
It's only February.
Yeah, right? You know, they could go on that run. South Carolina went on that run a couple years ago. Is that the one the Kelly Cup or no?
No. Who Kelly Cup was the Royals.
That's right, that's right. But they went on that run where they were like bottom of the South Division and they made a run all the way to second or third in the division that one year. And like, so maybe the Bears are doing the same thing and they're going to go on a crazy run and be able to make their way back into a playoff spot. But
I
think
hope.
Part of their issue is that there's not a lot of young offensive talent prospect-wise that's coming through the Capitals organization right now. And I think that's part of the reason you move out someone like Burakovsky and Bowie. Jus Sengathaler, whoever, I'd hate to lose Sengathaler because that kid really looks like he's going to be the real deal.
He's a star, yeah.
You know, you move them out and bring in NHL-ready guy now and a prospect, or NHL-ready guy now and a high draft pick that you can then turn into an offensive prospect. But watch, we're going to go into the offseason, and then we're going to go to the trade deadline, not trade deadline, the draft, and they're going to draft another freaking defenseman, and I'm going to be like, I think you have enough.
Never.
You have more than enough defensemen.
We never have enough defensemen.
They still have Lewington and Johansson, or however you say his name. Lucas?
Lucas Johansson?
Yeah. The kid in the minors, who's his brother is in his first. Ryan is his brother in. Ryan? Right? In Nashville? Played in Columbus?
I don't know.
Anyways, you know, they have these Hobbs, and these other guys in the minors defensively that are doing well, but then you still have three young defensemen on the roster right now.
I mean, there's going to have to be a move made to make room for Juice.
I think Sengathaler goes down.
It's going to have to.
I think that's
he's
yeah.
playing.
It's
so
that
good.
Or they do the trade like I talked about, where maybe you package Burakovsky and Bowie or Juice to another team to bring in a top six forward, who likely would start on the third line, but then be able to fill in, and a draft pick or an offensive prospect, because they need to replenish the offensive prospect pool because they don't have one. It's very empty right now.
Yeah. Well, I mean, we talked a lot about the Caps this show.
Well, that is why we're here.
That is good.
I mean, playing it up the camera, but the camera's off.
Camera died. I need a better GoPro. This is the GoPro Hero 3, and they're up to the 7 now.
Well,
so,
I don't have a GoPro.
It's a little old.
So, but I would never use one. That's the thing.
You find things.
For work.
Yeah, you find things. But if you want to continue the conversation with Coach Dan or I, you can. It's real easy. All you got to do is tweet to either one of us. You can tweet to me at Brando Cash. Coach Dan, where can people tweet to you at?
You can find me on Twitter at WTP Coach Dan, talking all kinds of Capitals related things when I'm not dealing with all sorts of other things going on lately that hopefully everything will calm down soon. And so I can actually start watching Caps hockey again.
Yeah, it's just revving up, man.
No. That's not the issue. That's all during the day. It's the house.
Yeah.
That whole thing.
Yeah.
So that's why I've missed a couple of games, just because we've had to do various meetings and things about that.
Sure.
But once that all settles down, then I can get a little more focused. But yeah, somehow that was finding me on Twitter. Also talking about Arsenal Football Club and how they're doing, which is not so great. They're doing okay at the moment. They actually had a bit of a rough spot, and then now they're going into a bunch of get Brandon's like, I don't know what we're talking about.
Somebody fell during a KHL game. The owner of Manchester United.
Huh?
Man U, right?
That's not KHL.
No, the owner of that was at a KHL game, and he fell like doing a puck drop. I was a coach.
Oh, Mourinho?
There you go.
Oh, that guy, he's just a bad person.
Ice is slippery.
He's a moron. And he's a word that is acceptable as an insult in England that you're not supposed to say in the U.S. It starts with a C.
Ooh.
And we'll go from there.
Okay.
He's a see you next Tuesday. So he's a Mourinho. What a putz. They have a couple winnable games coming up, so it'll be interesting to see how Arsenal with a new new loan signee Denis Suarez how they do. That's finding me on Twitter at WTP Coach Dan. But Brandon, you've got a good amount of other shows out there. If people wanted to find out about them, where would they go?
You can go to brandocash.com, the information you're ever going to need about What the Puck and all the other podcasts that we do here at Brando Cash Entertainment. And you can go to our Facebook page, facebook.com/whatthepuckpod, as well as our Twitter at whatthepuckpod. Like us over there. Follow us there. And you can check it out. We've been sharing some fun stuff, some football stuff since the Super Bowl was this past Sunday.
It was the most exciting game.
So boring.
Brandon, we both were going for the Rams, I would assume.
I didn't care, to be honest. I don't think Brandon
retires?
No. No.
Kenny? So he can go away?
He won't. I think he had, literally, they're...
I don't even think he had a great
game.
We're
still here, or whatever their slogan was we're the underdogs, like... Brady really believes that.
They're not the underdogs.
But
no one
really
likes you. I mean, a lot of people like you. The reality is here's the thing about Brady, okay? Separate him and Belichick. Is he as good as everybody thinks?
I think so. I think he's the best player to ever play the game.
Brady over Montana?
I do.
Interesting.
And I think that the cheating stuff is unnecessary. I think...
He did cheat, though.
I think he did. But I think it's unnecessary because he's proven that he can play ball... and not cheat and still win. I don't know why you would do the spy gate or the deflate gate or anything like that, because you're good enough. You don't need these other advantages.
I just don't think he's as good on another team. Put him on the Skins, he'll suck.
Brady is the general. So what his words go, and he commands the room. He takes charge.
I'm telling you, man, you put him on the Skins. And he's terrible.
Well, I mean, you can only do so much there.
It's just, go Bills. That's all I'm saying. All right, back to what you were saying.
All right, so let's talk about the games going on until we talk again. On Tuesday, February 5th, the Caps are at home against Vancouver, up against the Whale. That game is at 7 o'clock.
Can we talk about their logo real quick?
You hate that logo.
No, I like the Whale. Why do they have to write Vancouver over it? It's not like there's another team.
So you know.
That looks... Because it looks like another team's...
They probably came up...
the desk. I'm so angry, I'm shaking the desk.
They probably came up with this when the Whalers were still around in Hartford.
No, they didn't. Go to...
It's not good to give you a computer that works during the show.
I can't remember the name of the website. Sports logo. Shoot.
I follow that guy on Twitter. I know who you're talking about.
Yeah. So they has like all the old logos and teams. No. So it used to. Oh, fudge. I can't remember. But no, it's not. It just looks stupid. And the thing I like about that, and it's the Caps one too sometimes. So because the name is written out as their primary logo, sometimes they'll have like merchandise.
Yeah.
And it has like Washington written a book and like capitals or like Washington written on it and then the logo underneath.
Yeah.
So you're looking at like Boston and it'll be like, it's a Boston and then the B with the thing and Los Angeles and LA or like Anaheim and the Duck. But then you have like Vancouver where it's like Vancouver and then Vancouver Canucks, like the C. Or they'll have like Washington and then has like Washington capitals. So that always looks kind of silly. Like you'd think like someone at Fanatics would be like, maybe we adjust that one just to
right.
Or you use the other logo.
I mean,
I like the Canucks. I would say they're my Western Conference team because I love the city of Vancouver. I've only been there once, but I thought it was an amazing city.
Yeah.
That's not true. I've been there twice. Second time I was only there for a day or a couple hours. I just take the Vancouver off. Leave the sea. Leave the whale, the orca. That's all right, fine.
I'm fine with you there. All right, I hear you. So Vancouver, you can watch that. 7 o'clock, NBC Sports Washington locally here. Thursday, February 5th. No, 7th. The Capitals are up against Colorado, the Avalanche. We welcome back Philip Grubauer.
If he plays.
Is he gonna get a video package?
I think he should get I don't think it's a video package, but he should get recognized.
Sure. But you don't think it's like a
full it's on, not gonna like, be like trots level.
Here.
No, I think he might get a little something.
All right. I mean
maybe not as long, but I think he should get a little something.
Did he get a ring yet? Are they gonna present him with a ring?
I think didn't they go out to Colorado already?
I can't remember.
I want to say he did, but I can't remember.
I don't remember a video.
No, because they haven't come here yet, I don't think.
No, when they would go out. Like, Beagle got his when they went to Vancouver.
Oh.
And
I thought you meant a video, like, on the screen.
Alex Chason got one when they went to Edmonton.
He was tearing it up.
Colorado, that's if he plays. And I saw something recently about how they think that they're going to trade Varlamov. And Grubauer's going to be the new number one soon.
Go for it. He's a solid.
That might be more contractually thing than anything else, but no, he's a good goalie, and I think he should get the recognition he deserves because he played well last season.
Yeah,
he didn't win in the cup, but he played well. Neither did Chase on, and they gave
because
him
of him. Holpe was not doing his job at the end of the year, and
he did start. He lost both those games, but he did was the starting goalie going into the playoffs the year they won the Stanley Cup.
And that game's at 7 o'clock. You can watch that locally on NBC Sports Washington or on ESPN+. And then on Saturday, February 9th, the Capitals still at home up against the Panthers. That game's at 7 o'clock. You can watch that NBC Sports Washington or ESPN+. Monday, February 11th, the Kings come to town going up against the Caps. You can watch that game 7 o'clock, NBC Sports Washington. And then finally, on February 12th, the Capitals travel to Columbus in Ohio up against the Blue Jackets. That game's at 7 o'clock, and you can watch that on NBC Sports Washington locally. And then we will be back with a new show. I just looked at the camera, even though it's off. We will be doing another show next week on the hopefully the 13th. That'll work out. Hopefully, we'll see. But anyway, I think that's it for the show. So, Coach Dan, it's good to see you.
You as well, sir.
I'm glad you had a conference in Baltimore.
Yeah, it was a nice Y of Central Maryland training center. It's like just south, just after or right off 695.
Yeah,
or right past 695. So I didn't go into Baltimore. But yeah, it's nice to be up this far. I got kind of a day off of dealing with the kids at work because I had to go to the conference and then I zipped over here.
Yeah. So, I mean, it was good to do a live show. It's always good. Good conversation. No, don't have to worry about bad internet or anything like that. So this is nice.
Yeah.
And we got to incorporate the camera and a little bit of video, even though we went so long, the video died, but we will see you guys again. Do another show next week. So that's pretty much it for the show this week, everybody. Say it loud, say it proud. What's up, babes?
This has been a production of Brando Cash Entertainment. Music by DJ Wolfman. Voiceover by Sarah Jacks. For more information, go to brandocash.com.